I'm pleased to see Don Barber, the supervisor of the town of Ithaca. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's because the town of Ithaca is always here, right, Will?
Right.
Town of Caroline. Hello, Don. Thank you for coming. Right.
Good evening, everyone. Actually, it was about 20 years ago today, I was addressing the Caroline Town Board about a similar topic. And it's interesting that it's come around to this again. And I'm sorry I can't make the budget meeting next week because public hearing, because we're hopefully we'll be adopting our budget that time. But I'd like you to know that I really appreciate the seriousness of all the decisions that you have to make in setting a budget as you determine legislative priorities for the upcoming year. And tonight I'm here to speak about the funding for the development of our youth into productive members of our society in the face of austere decisions by the state and federal government. And for youth programs, it's a very politically expedient tool in tight financial times to cut the funding of a constituency that does not vote for you. And this is the case for the collective set of public education and programs for our youth. We are seeing this play out in Tompkins County with local governments being caught in the snare as well. Last year, you used one-time money to close a $53,000 reduction from New York State. And if you weren't applauded for doing that last year, you should have been, and I'm here to applaud you for doing that at this time. But starting at the federal level, with a No Child Left Behind and funding cuts to schools, school districts where children don't take certain tests very well, and continuing with a tepid educational support by the state, which has constructed a convoluted system whereby poor schools receive less public funding, public support than wealthy, the state has doubled down and also cut funding for youth programs and furthered that assault by instituting a property tax cap. This property tax cap mimics Proposition 13 in California, which took the California schools from near the top in the nation to near the bottom. And as a state, we have just started down that path, and it doesn't bode well for future generations or local governments as they advocate for the civil society. To ensure local governments cannot fill this void in this program designed just for serving the needs of our civil society, the state has pushed funding for programs like Medicaid down on counties. Counties have responded by cutting funding to the bare bones on all programs, including youth services. I want to prevail on you to consider this insidious paradigm and join with the towns, the city of Ithaca, and the villages to do what we must for our children. The item in question is a $48,000 over-target request from the Tompkins County Youth Services Department. And while $48,000 makes a small difference in the 2013 tax levy, it makes a tremendous difference in the ability of the department to continue its mission and for the municipalities to provide youth programs. And foremost, it makes the biggest difference in the lives of Tompkins County youth at a time when opportunities for youth to learn life skills to be productive members of society is shrinking. An unfortunate outcome of No Child Left Behind and New York State rating schools and teachers is the focus of test scores and not on life skills. Combined with the property tax caps means school districts' ability to meet the needs of our children is being constricted. The Tompkins County Youth Services Department, in conjunction with other local governments, is in a position to stem this tide. If we are not to join the race to the bottom, if we are a community that raises our children, then we should consider more, not less, funding for youth development, and as legislators, take a more active role in helping this department be successful in filling the growing needs for public support of our youth. How can youth programs survive in a shrinking role of government that in the morass that we find around us? I share your concerns, and we've had these exact same discussions at the Caroline Town Board. We must demand that more coordination takes place and current as well as future needs be assessed to help our youth become well-rounded adults to contribute a meaningful, productive role in society. The Caroline Town Board has asked our Youth Commission to work with all the other youth program providers like 4-H, public schools, scouts, and others in our town to define a vision and an action plan for our youth and collaborate in youth programming. The only way that generations have survived when they face starvation, the adults have chosen to feed their children first. What will be our legacy? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don. I appreciate the testimony on the budget. If you have other information as the supervisor of the town, just, you know, any updates on town issues that you'd like to share with us?
Well, everyone's dealing with the property tax cap, and it looks like most of the towns are going to stay within it. I will tell you that at our level, just the same as what you have, it's only a few years out before we're done, and then we have to start the override on a regular basis. And as a group of elected officials, we need to be spending more time with the public to let them know what the pressures are with this. For local governments, we are providing the basic services that people need every day, whether it's lights, whether it's water, whether it's sewer, whether it's police. The list goes on and on. These are the things that affect people every day. This is not some far-off game that other people, other legislators at the state and federal level, are insulated from. So it's time that we spend the time to help our community understand and help us, at budget setting time, determine what our priorities must be. I will also just state, because I'm chair of the Tompkins County Health Insurance Consortium, that right now we are doing very well financially. We have created all our reserves that are required and have over $1 million in fund balance that we've been able to get so far this year. So we're on a very good track, and I feel very good about that. There is much more to do. We need to actually start reducing the amount of claims, and then we have some ideas. We're working with Cornell and Ithaca College on that, as well as the local physicians. So I think there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm very encouraged about that. So I don't know. Any other questions?
Thanks very much, Don.
Sure.
Will and then Frank.
So at the county level, we're very familiar with the problem of the tax cap, which is literally the mandates from the state in terms of Medicaid essentially eat up almost everything that we're allowed.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, in terms of towns such as yours, whether you have similar external things you can't control, or whether it's just dealing with inflation and
it's typically inflation.
Yeah.
The biggest part of our budget, over two-thirds, is highway. And oil is going up very fast, and it's very unpredictable, as well as our storms. Like last year, we had a tropical storm Lee come through, which is actually, as Joe Mariana and this group has dealt with in the town of Caroline with a stream project, has stretched our spending to the limit. So the property tax cap doesn't give us any flexibility, and we keep chewing away at a fund balance to try to keep our taxpayers happy. And part of that is that it used to be that property tax was, that owning property was an asset. But now it's become more and more a liability because people don't use their land to be for production like they did when they were farming. And we're in this funny paradigm where we're taking something that people don't make money from, we're charging them property tax on it, and that's what supports local government. The whole thing is really needs to be reworked. Nate, next time, I'll give you something to work on.
Thank you.
Sure.
Frank. Right.
Thanks, Martha. Don, it sounds like I won't ask you too many questions because it sounds like you're losing your voice.
Actually, it's starting to come back. I think I was yelling too much last night for Nate. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate what you said about an improvement on the method by which property is viewed, because there's a lot of us that have heard that same concern. I think the state needs to get engaged in what you were describing about revaluing the property in certain ways. I want to ask you a question about the youth funding. The discussion some of us have been having, and Amy and I have been having from time to time, about that particular item, helping the municipal piece. When you, has TCOG, I know that Caroline's budget and Danby's budget have not been finalized yet, the town budgets. Do you know when the majority of the town, of all the town's budgets will be finalized? Maybe, have you talked about that at TCOG? Because I have a second question I want to ask.
Well, just reading the paper and seeing when the public hearings are coming up, by the time you meet next Tuesday, most of them will have been set.
Will be?
Will be.
Will you have a TCOG meeting?
No.
In there? It would be helpful if, because I have a health committee meeting next Tuesday, it would be, and Amy is usually on the menu for that, it would be helpful if we could have some reaction from the towns as to how much of that municipal youth piece they are funding by town, so that we could talk. If we're going to reintroduce something that you're asking for, it might be helpful to know how much our partners are putting in.
Sure. I can tell you that the town of Caroline's budget does have an increase for youth spending over last year.
I couldn't hear
it
you.
It does. We do have an increased spending in the town of Caroline budget for youth over last year. But we're not making up as much as we should, and that's why we've asked the different programs that are in our town to collaborate and come together. But it's something that I think probably your one-time funding was hoping would happen countywide, and I know that Amy had worked with our town and a few others to try to see if there were ways that we could collaborate. And unfortunately, there's still too much parochialism on youth programs, so we have to get over that hurdle. But that's something that this whole exercise is helping us do, is we start to understand that that our children learning life skills, to them being productive members of society, to actually experience work before they actually graduate from high school, so they know what they're getting into. It's so important if we're going to have a youth that are productive and help us with our older.
Is that breakdown by town something? I don't want to put the burden on you, but you're here as a municipal official also.
That's not a problem for me to ask for that information.
Can you ask for that? Maybe shoot it to Amy, and then maybe she can forward it to us.
Sure. Not a problem.
That's by town.
By town.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm going to offer Michelle as the jockey of the TCOG list, that if you wanted to put the question together and send it to Michelle, you can send it out to everybody.
Michelle. Or I might just send one to the supervisors directly, just ask them.
Yeah, that would be good for us to have for next Tuesday, Martha.
That'd be great.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Get some rest.
Okay.
Anyone else for Don? Any other questions? Thanks very much, Don. Glad to have you here and hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Right. Legislative privilege of the floor. Jim.
Thank you. Change from everything that has been spoken about. This Saturday, November 10th, 10 to 4, the Family Reading Partnership Kids Book Fest annual event, 15th time we've done that. And they have a section called Leader Readers. And people come in, sit in a big red tent, and read stories to children. And this year, we have Roy Ives, Lavelle Brown, Danny Novak, Nia Nunn Makepeace, Dave Bach, Linus Guillory, and our own Joe Mariana. So at 2:30 on Saturday afternoon, 10 minutes, you can down here, Joe read to children.
Is it the budget book?
I
am reading the budget
book. Yeah, he reads the budget book.
I mean, this year's numbers, and I will be reading the
budget. And it has a happy ending. You know. At any rate, that's mine.
That's called the new math, right?
Great event.
Thank you, Jim. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. On the reminder list, Sunday, November 11th, at the DeWitt Park will be the Veterans Day ceremony at 11 o'clock. And if any of you have an opportunity to make that, be appreciated. And those of you that were able to make the parade, that was also appreciated. Thank you.
Julie.
Tomorrow, November 8th, is the year anniversary of a car pedestrian accident on Route 96B between Ithaca College and the city. And following that, a petition was started, I think by Ithaca College students, trying to get a sidewalk put along 96B. This anniversary will be marked by a march downtown from Ithaca College to the city, I believe beginning at 5:15 at the college entrance on 96B. People are advised to bring flashlights and wear bright clothing, and they will probably stay single file to try to be safe on that road. But there's a lot of pedestrian traffic up and down 96B, and it would be great to support this effort.
Time and date again, please.
I think it's 5:15 p.m. tomorrow.
Can I just add something to that?
Sure.
The South Hill Civic Association has been part of that effort
For the last year, we've been meeting with Ithaca College, with DOT, with trying to get sidewalks put in because it's incredibly dangerous. That's the second person who has died. One died on Cottington Road, walking in the road. So.
Thank you. Leslie? I'm glad to see that citizens are raising their voice about that issue. Again, it's very important. On a different note, I want to tell all of you that the annual Harvest Fest for GIAC is next, the 16th, Friday the 16th. We'll show up and assisted, and so there's always a call for volunteers. It's an all-day affair, so if you have some time and you want to come help cook or help prepare the food, help serve, help clean up, please call GIAC 272-3622. And also, I hope you, if you're on the Human Services Coalition list there, if you might have seen already, a call for donations in the wake of Hurricane Sandy, especially around school supplies. Many schools have reopened in the New York City area, and Love Knows No Bounds, which has been doing a lot of work with the rebuild effort in New Orleans, is now focused some of its efforts in the New York City area. So there is a call for supplies, and they're especially looking at school supplies for children returning to school who don't have anything. So there's a list of things you're looking for and a number of collection points, including GIAC, so you can bring stuff there. Staples, they were very specific about Staples gift cards if people don't have the time to go buy, you know, notebooks and pens and pencils and backpacks and so on. So anytime from now until, I think they're trying to leave this weekend, if not next weekend.
Is that list posted someplace?
I don't know where it's paid. It's on the Human Services Coalition listserv. I know it came out on that and some other places, but I'm more than happy to forward it to folks.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Thanks, Leslie. Mike and then Frank. Seems awful loud and echoey.
From time to time, members of the county legislature dabble in politics and make an effort to run for other or higher office. I can think of several of us around the dais, around this table. Frank, I think you made an effort. I made an effort. Pam did us proud, making two efforts. Nathan Shinagawa just made an effort. Sometimes they have to not be here as much as we might like to see them. But that doesn't mean they aren't here in spirit and they aren't doing their best to continue to represent the people who sent them. Win or lose, I should add Beverly Livesey to that group, who ran a couple of times for state senate as well. Win or lose, I think we as a group should be proud of the fact that we are a springboard for people to look at the other offices, whether it's assembly or state senate or mayor or Congress or whatever. And I think that most recently what Nate did for us, not party aside, I think the fact that he brought honor to our legislature here is a very good thing.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
I did miss all of you, and I look forward to seeing you all on a regular basis again.
And if he calls you, he won't be asking for money.
Yeah, that's also true.
Let me just add, Mr. Dennis also has run for higher office as well, before being a legislator.
I've totally forgotten about that.
Okay.
It was so long ago, I had a different name.
Frank.
But you need to add to that list Gary Lee,
yes.
Sam McNeil,
yeah.
And Debbie Dietrich.
Right.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. If you think about it, Frank, there's a lot of people who've done that over the years. Of course, you were with those. I talked about the ones that were here after I came on. You came when we founded the county, didn't we?
Yeah. And Daniel D. Tompkins was mentioned in what movie?
Miracle on 34th Street.
You got it.
Ah,
Vice President. Trivia. That is true. I want to ask less on the, Nate, it's nice to see you back, Nate.
Yeah, good to see you too, Frank.
Less on the you mentioned Love Knows No Bounds. Do we contact them through GIAC for the type of thing you're asking for?
Not particularly. They have their own site and contact information. I don't know it off the top of my head. I apologize. But if you're looking to donate, GIAC is one of the sites that you can bring stuff to.
Because they had an office on Cecil B. Malone Drive, but nobody ever answers the phone. And they have an email up at Ithaca College, but they don't respond. So I'm just, I was hopeful when you said that.
I mean, feel free to, we'll be happy to pass the information on and tell them about making sure they respond, or if there's some information you need for us to share with them, we can do that. You can send it to me, or we'll make sure it gets to them.
Thanks.
Because we have a very close working relationship with them.
Because we've used them in the past with the flood down in Owego.
Yeah.
And
we'll be
helpful.
Happy to.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Martha.
Sure. Peter?
Oh, I just thought I would comment and reveal my limited perspective, but I rather thought running for this body was running for higher office.
It's all relative, isn't it?
And then you got elected, Peter. But I'm confused.
Anyone else?
What, is this a roast?
All right. Anyone else? Actual comments, anyone? All right. Well, I have a feeling everybody's been holding back. There's lots of feelings, lots of things to say. And I think nobody wants to start this because the meeting would be, you know, an extra hour. So I won't? Okay. All right. I just think it is remarkable when our country goes and votes. You know, it's just really special. And I called my daughter-in-law last night from the polling booth, and they from the polling station, and they had just taken the kids to vote, and you know it's really special. And with that, I do need to say a couple of words about Nathan. I have a couple things here for you that you left behind. It really has been spectacular to watch your race. You did do us all proud. I think. You know, Tompkins County was obviously enormously behind what you did, and not as a partisan matter. In fact, when I first came on this board, after a while I started realizing there's not a lot of partisan stuff here. This is common sense. This is just like, okay, you're going to do the everybody wants transparency and accountability, and it's just common sense, and I think that's a lot of what your message was. So, but anyway, you left some things here, so if you want to come up, this is just some of the mail you didn't collect. And a little something else for you, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
What
should I open first? So you can take a nap.
Oh, okay.
But not in our meeting, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
It is wonderful to have you back, Nathan.
Yes, it's great to be back.
Okay, a couple of other items. I'm appointing as a chair's appointment Derek Burrows to the Workforce Investment Board. I want to mention a phone call I had. I called Steve Aquario from NYSAC. You remember Joe talked about the that weird new idea they've got about sales tax from towns being applied against our tax levy and the cap. He's suffice to say, this NYSAC staff is furious about it and has been making calls. And They're working to try to get that undone at the highest levels. And Joe, that letter that went out, I think if you want to talk about that for a minute, do you know where that stands? Did that go to
I believe it went to the State Comptroller's office. So it was circulated in draft form. Some people gave some input. I believe it has gone out to the State Comptroller.
Okay, because this is, Steve wanted to make sure this wasn't one of our asks. In other words, you know, we have a list of things we're lobbying for with the governor's people and all, with the legislature. And he didn't want this to be considered one of those things that, well, if you get this fixed, we won't get something else. This is totally out of the blue. And he said the comptroller's office thinks it's crazy. This is apparently one attorney somewhere in the Division of Budget Council, counsel's office, and we're hoping that we can get that undone. I did reemphasize Medicaid, of course, as what we're asking about, them being the key mandate. He said absolutely. He's also trying to focus on home rule for the local tax issues that we've tried to lobby about in the past. So maybe there'll be some movement there. There's one other item, which is that I heard on the radio story, Susan Orbetter, that public safety arbitration, Brian, maybe you know about this, that's a law that enables, that gives the authority to the public safety unions for automatic arbitration, that expires in June. Correct? And the legislature, in order to extend that, would have to take affirmative action, and the governor would have to sign it. So I said, well, Steve, you know, we might encourage you to, you know, that maybe that should be allowed to expire, that's something that really is difficult for counties. Well, just is something that they're looking at. I think it's certainly a mandate, and it's something that they're looking at. So I just wanted to report on that call. Another call I made today to Congressman Reed's office to congratulate him and to ask that they see if they can get a meeting with us and the congressman at some time in Ithaca. So they're going to work on some dates and send that to me. Joe has been looking for meetings with our three senators and Barbara Lifton as well. So when we get some ideas of those schedules, we'll send those out to everybody so that you can be involved. And one other meeting that I've mentioned to you, I think, recently is next Tuesday night, next Tuesday afternoon in Albany. Six other elected officials and I from the local elected officials to protect New York will be going to Albany to meet with Basil Sagos from the governor's office, Joe Martens, and Commissioner Shaw of the health department to present once again our call for three studies to be done, the health impact study, cumulative environmental impact study, and the socioeconomic study on fracking. So that's next Tuesday. We are now at, last I checked, 480 signatures on that letter. We'd really like to get to 500 by next Tuesday. So we're making a push to try to reach out individually to some extra people and try to bring us to that nice round number. So I hope that we can do that. It's all on nyelectedofficials.org. If anybody wants to go and see the letter, see the people who've already signed up, and media coverage that we've gotten over the last few months. So, and our final request will be to actually meet with the governor, because the gas industry has met with the governor. We think it's perhaps time that somebody from our side also do that. And then one other thing about New York State. I believe the returns are showing that the state Senate majority will turn to a Democratic majority.
All right. Yes.
What are you? It looks like three or maybe four races will have flipped. So things should be interesting. That will, I think, change the dynamics considerably. We'll at least leave everybody to scratch our heads about exactly what that'll mean. I'm pretty sure the governor will be scratching his head now for a little while. So with that, that's my report. So, Frank.
Two things, Martha. As you're putting together the, I realize everybody's on, needs a couple of days to regroup because of last night. But as you're putting together the meeting for meeting with the state senators, mm-hmm. Can you keep, you'll keep us abreast of when and when those
sure.
dates are.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a request that you add to the contact list a request to meet with Senator Schumer. Senator Schumer 2 months ago was very interested in, and he did come, to meet with various people in Seneca County pertaining to hydrilla. And we would like to encourage a meeting with him. As chairman of the WRC, I'll probably be writing him a letter mm-hmm. in that capacity. But if you're going to also try to set meetings up, I realize he's been a little distracted right now. But we would like, and I think Pat and I would like to encourage a similar meeting with him, particularly regarding the Soil and Water District because of their involvement with hydrilla. And we need some help with some funding.
Mm-hmm.
And having his attention would be really appreciated.
We can do that when I, and once we set up meetings, we'll certainly sort of ask you what the issues are if you want to, you know, whoever, you know. So we're meeting with Senator Seward Thursday. What are the issues? And, you know, let everybody weigh in.
Okay.
So, okay?
Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks. Anything else? All right, thank you. Joe, County Administrative Report.
Thanks, Martha. Short report again tonight. Just in terms of storms and extreme weather, they seem to be more common occurrences. We did report today due to public safety on kind of the postscript on our response to Hurricane Sandy a couple of weeks ago, which we thought went pretty well. I think we're really making good progress in terms of setting up an emergency operations center and really getting that down pat. We've made a lot of improvements over the last year. We will be doing after-action reviews very shortly after that. As I said in committee today, we're already beginning to look for additional technologies we can bring to that room that will help really pinpoint where problems are and provide good intelligence to people who work in the field. So I just want to, I know we've talked about this before, but the work that Lee and Jessica and Beth Harrington did along with Marcia to get us organized for that event was really well done, and we should be appreciative of the effort, and we will continue to get better. I've emailed all of you, and you've been really good about responding to an opportunity to provide some help to the New York City area. There was a call for equipment and people to operate the equipment to be involved in the debris removal in New York City. Our folks rallied very quickly around that to see if we would be able to help. I talked to Martha very early on to make sure we've got a good path to get there. All of you were very responsive as soon as we sent out a note to make sure that we were not getting in front of the legislature. You would be supportive. And I think to a person, you got back to me very quickly to say this is something that we should do. With respect to where we are right now, we've identified the equipment that could go down there that is consistent with what they've asked for. We want to make sure that if we do send equipment down, it doesn't deplete us in case it snows hard. We want to make sure we can address our own community needs. We have forwarded that information to the state. We are awaiting the state's response. So we basically said we're there to help. They now need to tell us when and where. So that's where we are right now. We're waiting for that signal from the state to know when and where. I talked to Lee late today. There is some chance that they will tell us to kind of stand down, that they have what they need. So we don't know yet. We just haven't heard from them. But we've indicated our willingness and ability to help out as soon as we get the call. So as soon as we hear anything, we will let you know. It looks like something like 5 to 7 of our highway folks might go down with equipment, a few dump trucks, a payloader, things to carry that equipment down there. And at some point, we may want to talk about things we can put in that equipment to bring with us. I don't know if it's ripe to do that yet or not until we know if we're definitely going to go. But there may be those kinds of opportunities that have been. I think both Martha and Brian have talked about that. So that's where that is right now, and I will keep you posted as we hear more and as we deploy. I guess the only other thing in my report is kind of old news as well, but I think it's really important. Those solar panels are going up. And we're now done with 3 buildings. 3 of the 6 buildings we're going to do this year. We'll do the last building, the public safety building, next year after we see if there's some other improvements that are going to occur in there. But in terms of what this county is doing to establish some leadership in energy conservation and renewables, we're doing some really good things. And so I just don't want that moment to pass when we recognize this is a pretty important event that's happening right now, and it's occurring as we speak. So those were the 2 items on my report list for tonight.
Thank you very much, Joe. Any questions? Frank?
Joe, with regard to the emergency response for the city, first, I think Jeff Smith really deserves a pat on the back, and so does Lee.
Yes.
While there probably are a lot of communities responding with the kind of offer we made, sometimes 2 months down the road, 3 months down the road, some of the people that have gone down already are going to need to be relieved. Will we be in a position, say, after the first of the year or even as late as the spring, to be able, because they're not going to recover from this in 2 months, to offer that same kind of assistance?
It's a good point. I'm not sure the timeline would be that long. It is debris removal. I mean, they're having a hard time doing some other things because there is still a lot of stuff out there. But they have said these are 4 or 5 day deployments. So what that may mean is they may run in shifts. So somebody may come in from one community for 4 or 5 days, and that's their commitment. And then they need to get back, and then they'll be shuffling in others. So it could well be that we will be in the queue for that. It may not be tomorrow or this weekend. It could be later down the road.
Thanks.
Will?
You know, relative to that, I just happened to stumble something on the news last night where I think it was a group of Marines that were temporarily in the New York City area en route to the Middle East were helicoptered in and were doing to a neighbor that had been hit, and they literally were taking the sheetrock off houses so that they wouldn't develop mold, and just going to house, and an amazing amount of energy, and I guess I was delighted to see our very heroic soldiers being called to on very short notice coming in and being able to do that. And I'm also very happy that you responded and that Jeff got his motion and
Lee,
you
yes.
know. Thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Joe. Deputy County Attorney Steve Flash. Hello. Any report?
No, I'm going in for Jonathan Wood. We had a busy day yesterday.
I'm sorry. Use the mic, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm filling in for Jonathan, who will be back on November 20th, but who's counting. And we had a busy day yesterday getting, I think we had 16 or 17 orders that I got from Judge Sherman to allow people to vote who there had been a follow-up on the registration. Usually we have 2 or 3. So it was a busy day yesterday.
So. Okay, any questions? Thank you, Steve. Finance Director David Squires.
No.
All right, thank you. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right, I will read the consent agenda and let me know if you want anything taken off. Resolution A, ID 3768, authorization to execute design services, supplemental agreement, Fisher Associates, Hanshaw Road Reconstruction Project, PIN 3753.25, Town of Ithaca. Revised Resolution B in your packet, ID 3762, budget adjustment to transfer State Emergency Management Office and Federal Emergency Management Agency reimbursement funds from September 2011 flooding, Highway Division. Resolution C, ID 3678, return village taxes. Resolution D, ID 3679, return school taxes. Resolution E, 3680, adoption of apportionment of taxes for 2013. Get a motion. Moved by Will, seconded by Frank. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. So we just met this afternoon. So I have the benefit of being able to actually remember what we did because it just happened. We will be bringing resolutions at our next meeting. But two things I wanted to let you know about. One, we had a very interesting report from Ed about a proposal that's been received on the Biggs property. And he just sort of presented it in sort of broad sense. But basically, it's a partnership agreement that would be from Better Housing of Tompkins County and a very highly regarded development firm from out of town. The details are yet to come, but he will be bringing those to us over probably the next month. And secondly, I wanted to report that we had the first meeting of the TCAD funding group. It happened to be the night of the storm, and I was sure that it was going to be canceled, but Joe made a very careful decision that we could meet, and it was a good meeting. We're off to a start. That effort's being chaired by Art Pierce, and I'm hopeful that we will have some good discussions coming out of that. And that's my report.
Thanks very much, Will. Any questions? All right. But Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. The Broadband Committee will be meeting this month on November 26th at the four-boarder room of the Tompkins County Public Library. And that's it.
All right. Thanks very much. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you very much, Martha. I'm going to go right to the resolutions. Resolution at letter F. It's authorization to enter into a contract with Johnson Controls, Inc. for energy performance contract, energy improvements for the public safety building, and I would move that.
Seconded by Mike. Discussion, Dooley.
I would like to offer as an amendment in the third resolved that the five-year capital program be identified as 2012-2016.
Is that friendly?
Yeah.
And Mike? Okay. Anything else? Ready to vote. We need 10 votes. So all in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. 12-1, that passes.
Item G, a bond resolution authorizing the issuance of up to $1.4 million in serial bonds and notes for the County of Tompkins, New York, to pay a portion of the cost of capital improvement project at the aforementioned Tompkins County Public Safety Building. And I would move that.
And seconded by Les Lynn, and that is moving the revised.
It is a revised page. On page one only.
Okay. Any discussion? Also 10 votes on that. I'm sorry? And roll call.
Mr. Stein?
Aye.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lanes?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Frodo?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
We have 13 ayes, 0 noes.
That's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you for that one. It means about $10 million, I think the number is. Item H, a request for authorization to extend the additional 1% sales tax rate in Tompkins County. I know this is the one.
Are you moving that?
Yes, I am.
And Frank wants to second it, right?
Fails for lack of a second.
I think I saw Mike's hand.
Sorry, my mistake. Yeah, I'll second it. From now on, don't we call this the proto-resolution?
Let's do that. That's a good idea.
This was the... It's already been seconded. Can we speak to it?
Yes.
This is, for those of you that don't have the history with this, this was the temporary resolution that was put into place about 25 years ago to help us over the hump when we were short of cash. It was only supposed to be in place for a short time while we replenished the cash side of our budget. But who's counting?
Jim.
I think Leslie was first.
Leslie. I just want Frank to know that those of us who are 25 think that that is a short period of time. I mean, we haven't lived yet.
Count me in.
So it's still temporary. Too late, yeah. Frank.
I spoke too soon. The $10 million is hooked to this resolution. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Frank. There'll be I'll handwrite a note on the bottom of it before I hand it back.
Anyone else? All right, ready to vote. That's H. We don't need any special votes, right? Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? 12 to 1.
Well, I have two proxies also.
And Jim?
A revised resolution I, resolution of the legislature of County of Tompkins providing exemptions from sales and compensating use taxes for receipts from sales of and consideration given or contract to be given for or for the use of commercial solar energy systems equipment and installation exempt from state sales tax and compensating use taxes pursuant to subdivision HH of Section 1115 of the New York State Tax Law pursuant to the authority of Article 29 of the Tax Law of the State of New York, and I would move that.
Seconded by Pat. Julie, Pam, and Mike.
No, I was trying to second it.
Okay, Pam?
This is the worst resolution that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
This is like the worst... brings out the absolute worst doublespeak of government. It's just a ridiculous resolution. I have no idea. What are they talking about?
The title
is... Can somebody say in layman's terms what
yes.
this is?
Yeah, what is this?
Yeah, Jim?
Who wants to speak to this? Joe? Dooley?
Nobody can speak to it because it's
Dooley
completely
is the
incomprehensible.
Expert here, without a doubt. But go ahead, Joe.
I can't. In fact, as I look at this, I think this is what I'll read Saturday to the kids.
It'll take the whole 10 minutes.
Yeah, this is language dictated to us by the State Taxation Office, and I have to give Dooley credit because she appealed to the council in the State Taxation Office to allow us to put a few English words in here to explain what this is for, and they agreed to do that. So what it is some time ago, the state had a sales tax exemption that was available to counties at local option, and it exempted the sales tax on the installation of solar panels on residential properties.
Right.
This county was among 20 or so that adopted that, so it's tax-free now. Very recently, the state has broadened that law to include commercial installations as well as residential installations, and they're giving us the option to piggyback on that, to exempt commercial installations of solar panels. So that's what this resolution does. With respect to impact, we don't know. We don't think it's significant. So we wanted to bring this to you, but that's in layman's language, that's what this resolution does.
There's nothing, no word in there that would describe what this is for.
The reference is subdivision HH of Section 115, and we're all supposed to know that that is the reference to the exemption of commercial installations of solar panels.
Pam,
and in the instructions, by the way, the state's instructions to us said don't make any changes to the language that we have given you.
I didn't.
The revised is in your folder, where we've added.
Oh, I'm so sure this one is an absolute plain language.
It's better.
It's better.
Oh, look at this.
And we have to.
Julie, I take it all back.
We do have Julie to thank for English here. I've got Mike, Peter, Pat, and then Jim.
Well, I was going to associate myself with Pam's remarks, but not the part where she took it back. I just want to say that this is typical Albany gobbledygook. And please don't blame the lawyers. Many of us lawyers don't try to have the things this incomprehensible.
Mike, did you read my mind? Peter.
Well, I find it rather transparent, but there is. But there is something that gives me some pause before I'm able to vote for this resolution, which is the use of capital letters. I think that's the first time I've ever seen the word of, O-F, used with a capital O. There's a plethora of capital letters there. I wonder if someone could explain to me why it's required to have capital letters every place.
And that goes to Dooley.
What?
No.
Does that the state demand that? Is that a mandate?
No, they will lowercase the ofs and the fors, I'm sure. Some of them are lowercase and some of them aren't. It's a mistake. They should all be lowercase.
Well, if we care about that as a manifest error, I don't think we have to talk about it anymore. But thank you, Peter. Pat and then Mike.
Just for clarification, if we pass this, then the exemption for commercial is automatic, or it's not something we have to act on an individual basis then, correct?
That's correct. For sales tax, this would exempt anybody who does this kind of work.
Okay.
So it's already exempted from four cents. This takes off the other four.
That's correct. It would be tax-free. And I should say, as you've seen in the resolution, it would be effective next March. This gives the state time to make all the changes in the documentation and reports. Okay.
Including the capital O's. Mike?
No, I didn't have another comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Jim. I'm sorry.
Yes, what this has done for me, and I'm truly going to support it, Dooley spent a lot of time talking to the state and the state attorney general's office, I believe.
No, finance department.
Oh, finance.
Office of counsel.
What it's done for me as committee chair is the next time Dooley raises her hand to try to amend one of my amendments, I'm going to say, has this been through the state? And if it hasn't, then I'm not going to allow it.
All right, with that, are we ready to vote? On the revised resolution, please raise your hand. And all in favor, raise your hand. And the opposed. That's unanimous.
Also, the other day we had our meeting, and it was suggested to the committee in an email or conversation between legislators that we think about looking at the fund balance percentage. Right now we're currently at 5%, and we are going to do that by the end of the year and for future budgets and things like that. Right now we're at 5% of our budget, and we're looking at some possible other numbers in an upwards move. So we will get back to you with that. Other than that, that is my report. Thank you very much.
You want to give the public the details on the hearing next week?
5:30. 7. 7? 7. 7. 7. 7 here. Public hearing.
Next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you. And as I said before,
public. Next Tuesday, 7 p.m., public hearing.
Thank you. All right. Any questions for Jim? All right, Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Well, we had I can sort of remember what went on because we had it 11 o'clock this morning, so I'm going to do my best. We actually had quite an interesting meeting. We had a report from the county administrator about something that seems to have happened in the distant past, namely the finding of a new home for day reporting. But that is still an active search. We did pass a resolution, I don't know, 1 or 2 years ago, saying that that was to be a priority. And there's possibly some movement there, and we're waiting for Aurel to be back, and hopefully we can carry that to some sort of conclusion in the not-too-distant future. We heard a report from the district attorney about an effort to collect DWI fines for reasons that I find somewhat incomprehensible. It's apparently difficult to collect, or has been difficult to collect DWI fines, but they have made a new system that keeps track of the fines and have actively pursued old fines and have some weapon to use with people who don't pay them, because their case can be reconsidered if they don't. And they've collected a significant amount of money from that. There's a new initiative that the sheriff's department asked the committee for permission to pursue, and we thought it was a great idea. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the PERS program of the Office for the Aging. For people who are physically impaired, they have some kind of a device that they carry around their neck, a button that they push, and that button activates a call to the communication center. The idea is for people who fall over and can't get up and so forth to use that. Someone has, or the sheriff's department learned about a device which can be similarly useful for people who suffer from senility. You remember last year there was a woman who died in an open field who suffered from senility and left the house and nobody could find her. This is a device that people wear that has GPS capability, and one can locate a person if that person is found missing. And it turns out that someone who is sympathetic to this, namely a relative of the woman who died, has offered a significant amount of money to start a program of this sort, and we enthusiastically on the Public Safety Committee endorsed that and asked the Sheriff's Office to continue, and we hope to be able to bring something to this committee. Remind you, is there anything else that happened?
No. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. In connection with that initiative, the gentleman who happened to be the son of the lady that had died found this program, and it's a bit different than PERS, because PERS is a it's a transponder. It notifies.
It doesn't know where you are.
This is a GPS which locates them, and it's primarily for Alzheimer's and dementia patients, not, well, maybe senility, but I don't really count that. I think we all have that to a bit of a degree. But at any rate, one of the things that they're doing, he just asked that they have permission to investigate this, but it seems to be going pretty rapidly, including some sort of event, a gala event that's going to be happening, I believe, at the end of this month to get funds for the start of this program. Sounds like a very, very good program. One of the things we suggested is that they also work in contact or in concert with COFA, as they're the ones that are out. They can certainly identify the people that need them and may be able to do some of the monthly maintenance on the devices that's needed. So all in all, a very good program. It may be that we may need to, at a future time, fund some of this, probably not a lot, but when you weigh that against, you just mentioned the search effort that was made last year to find this lady. Unfortunately, she was deceased at the time, but in terms of effort, overtime, logistics, that sort of stuff, for what I believe was a 2 to 3 day search, you start adding up stuff like that, the cost for a program like this, it would be much, much less than that.
So. Now, is Lee Shirtliff involved? Because Lee, not the Sheriff's Department, manages PERS.
No. PERS manages both itself.
No, I mean, Lee's involved, though. It's not.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I thought that emergency response is in some way, it works with COFA on PERS. Anyway, okay, I've got Leslin and then Dooley, Peter, Frank. Leslin?
I'm sorry. Can you come back to me?
Brian has to separate confused. You know, we have to put you apart. Dooley.
I am wondering how this GPS device is attached to the person who needs it.
It's a bracelet.
I can answer that.
But they can't take off?
No, it's they recommend using ankles, something around ankles. These are people. I thought senility was the right word, but I don't know. Dementia is the right word. Okay, sorry. These are people with dementia that don't understand the realities that they face, and that seems to be the best place to put it is on an ankle, because it isn't visible, and that seems not to be a problem. Apparently, I'm no expert, but that question was raised. And while I have the floor, I forgot to announce that our next meeting will be the first Wednesday after the first Tuesday of what is it? December, right? Thank you.
Thank you. Frank?
Thank you. Peter, this sounds familiar. This sounds reminiscent of what probation does with the ankle bracelets, where it might have some similarity. But one of the concerns that we heard with regard to the PERS system was if someone was using a digital phone through Time Warner, and when the power went out, the phone went down. So someone with one of the PERS units that was programmed to use a digital phone did not have that. You couldn't, if they had an emergency while that other emergency was going on, you couldn't track them and they couldn't be communicated with. So there wasn't a notification through the emergency response. So this particular system you're describing through GIS might be more helpful if it didn't have to rely, like your cell phones do, on satellites. And that may be the tie-in with Lee, where there may be an opportunity to parlay that. Brian, do you know when you said that they're going to have a meeting towards the end of the month with more of this coming up?
No.
It's a fundraising event.
No, it's a fundraiser. It's a gala to kick this off. And this is being done by, and I'm sorry, I don't know the gentleman's name, but it is the son of the lady
who was missing.
And he's working closely with the sheriff's office right now.
Does Lisa Holmes has been
yes.
kept in the loop on
yes.
this? Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Leslin.
Let me just add that the logistics of all of this is still to be worked out. What the Sheriff's Department was essentially asking for is the family, this is a gala that happens every year, the money goes to the Alzheimer's Association, the family has requested that 10% of whatever is raised go to the Sheriff's Department to support the start of this program. And so that's essentially what they were asking for, so that the family can go ahead with the advertising, et cetera. Can we pursue this? So they can go ahead with the advertising. But the logistics of it has not been quite worked out. They're working, you know, together with the Office of the Aging because of the clientele that they serve, that they might know who are some of the individuals that could benefit from this, et cetera. So there's several players that are involved in this. And Dooley, I saw your eyebrows go up when we talked about the bracelet. It can be a bracelet that's worn either in the ankle or on the wrist. The DA was at the meeting, and one of her suggestions was we should really think about it, because a lot of times patients with dementia. She particularly referenced one of her relatives that would see it and try her best to take it off.
Yes.
From her wrist, and so, you know, was the thought of, you know, ankle might be better. What I really wanted to say is also at the public safety meeting, we had a really nice presentation from Lee about, you know, sort of putting emergency team together in the event of what we were expecting from Sandy, and just all the layers of who's who and what can happen, and also realizing how many of the players have changed since we last were sitting on that committee as we did there, and, you know, looking at that meeting update. But it was really great that people responded so quickly and could be there in the event that we needed to started working on that operation. One of the things that came out, And I wanted to take the opportunity now to really give big kudos to the Ithaca Fire Department, I think is Brian corrected me, Swift Water Rescue Team, that went down to Long Island, to the New York City area, and did amazing work in rescuing people, over 60-plus rescues. I know there were folks, you know, mentioned in the news and elsewhere, and here in Ithaca we really should give them a big old pat on the back in representing us that well and being that quick to respond and help save lives. So I wanted to take the opportunity to just say kudos to them. We got some good people here.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's true. And I think some Dryden firefighters also went down, and I'm sure others, and Red Cross as well. Peter.
I think I forgot to present two resolutions.
Yes, that's right. You have two.
Resolution 3682, appropriation from contingent fund replacement pay, Department of Probation and Community Justice, and pending Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee action.
Second.
I'd like to move that.
I'm sorry, who said second?
Leslin.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? Need a short roll call on? Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
And the second resolution, number 3668, appropriation from contingent fund for terminal pay, district attorney, pending budget, capital, and personnel committee action of 11-5. I'd like to move that.
Thank you. Seconded by Brian. Discussion? Another short roll call. Jim?
I have a question for David Squires. David, it seems like a few months ago, if not longer, that when these actions were taking place, that you had talked to the committee once about, rather than taking out of the contingent, you would, if there was money left in the department's budget, that would cover it, or am I off on the wrong?
You make it
at a wrong place.
Well, there's a comment that often these resolutions come up as an entitlement in the money, because money is left in the account and personnel, it doesn't go into rollover. So it's there's no urgency basically to do them. So all I can say is we'll do transaction, but it won't result in them getting any great benefit other than maintaining their budget.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Short form roll call.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? All right. That's unanimous. Thank you, Peter. Next committee. Who's next?
Workforce.
I am. There it is. Okay. And my very Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
A very long report will be that the Workforce Diversity and Committee Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee report will come following our November 28th meeting.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee will be meeting next Tuesday, the 13th. obviously there's a key item that we will now add to the discussion, the one Peter just brought up about the PERS units. Michelle's doing a little homework right now to see if we can get some information.
You mean the GPS, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Two other items that will be on that agenda. One will be, I've asked Frank Krupa to give us a report on the emergency preparedness based on a discussion I had with Joe, what the county did with regard to health-related issues in the face of the potential for last week's storm. We thought it was a very good exercise, and it might be good for the committee to understand what our health department did in regard to getting prepared for, thank goodness, an event that did not occur here. Third item, and I've asked Martha about this already, I'll be bringing forward a proclamation to the committee that I've asked Martha if she will present. November is National Home Care Month, and we have a number of organizations in the community that are participate in one way or another in providing home care. So we're going to be dealing with that. There's a couple of other items on the agenda, but that'll be it for now, including the youth services one that Don Barber broached this evening. Madam Chair, I have a question I want to ask Jim. I neglected to ask it under your budget report. What will be the process for bringing forward amendments to the county budget? I know we have the hearing next Tuesday, but the vote is the following Tuesday. Can you walk us through what we need to file either through Joe's office or with Kevin or with whomever if we want to further offer an amendment to the county budget? I'm sorry I didn't bring that up sooner, Jim.
Good question.
And do you want to do it?
Well, I think we would probably coordinate that. So if you intend to propose amendments, if you want to do it through my office, let's do it that way, and then we can coordinate with Kathy on the specific form it would take when it gets here. Okay. So we'll be the conduit of that.
Right. But they won't be presented next Tuesday. They would be presented for the budget vote following Tuesday.
That's correct.
The only thing I would ask that you try to get them in 24 hours in advance of the meeting so that if it comes in, or maybe longer, Kathy, or a longer time?
I would say at least 24 hours in advance.
That if you know what you're going to do, get them in and into Joe and Kevin and Kathy.
Okay.
It'll work best that way, I think.
Thanks. Thank you.
Will.
Frank, thank you for asking that. I was thinking the same thing. And the question I had, Jim, what type of amendments could be made but not necessitate another hearing? In other words, the hearing is on the existing budget that we sent to hearing.
I believe after the public hearing that we could make pretty substantial changes without having another public hearing.
Okay.
And I'm not going to define substantial, but...
That's my understanding as well.
Yeah.
Okay,
you
thank
can
you.
Amend it well.
Yeah, it's not like a local law or something like that. Now, usually, you know, motions that have to go to the legislature have to be in by that 5 o'clock that day. That's a week ahead of time. But that's not the procedure here.
Right. You'll be making amendments, and amendments can be made on the floor that evening too,
that's
the legislature meeting. So.
Okay.
Thanks,
Martha.
Good question. Thank you very much, Frank. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Vice Chair.
Thank you. The Facilities and Infrastructure Committee met last Friday, November 2nd. We continued to miss our chair, Carol Chalk, but we managed to get work done anyway. We heard from one of the county residents, a Mr. Zaharis, about his belief that using road graders instead of trucks
for plowing our roads would, over the long term, by which he means maybe a 50-year window, be more cost-effective. And we will get a response to that suggestion from our highway manager. We also heard a report about the Ellis Hollow Road colored shoulders. The color addition, the completion of it, will now have to await till spring because with the approach of winter, the highway folks have redone the white guideline for safety reasons. We also learned that the Pine Tree Road design report will not be available likely until after Thanksgiving. And since this committee meets on the first Friday of the month, we may need a special meeting after that meeting, but we will make sure we allow plenty of time to look at the Pine Tree Road design report. And the last thing I want to mention is that even with recycling revenues down, the solid waste manager gave us what I thought was pretty good news, that we would not have to raise the solid waste annual fee, and the committee voted to maintain it at its present $56 per unit, and that resolution will come to the legislature at our next meeting.
Thanks very much.
I have a resolution also.
Okay, Brian, you had your hand up before. Was it something?
Yeah, but let's go ahead and finish. I was actually trying to ask under the Health and Human Services report.
Okay. All right, we'll come back to
that.
Thank you. Any questions on Dula's report first? Frank.
No. It's on the resolution. Sorry.
Okay, come on with your resolution.
So resolution LID 3760, appropriation from highway fund balance, purchase Bailey Bridge, which is a temporary bridge structure. I move it.
Second. Moved by Dooley, second by Leslin.
It's my favorite.
Frank.
Dooley, can you give us an idea how strong one of these bridges would be? I mean, it's a temporary bridge while something is being repaired or maintained or reconstructed. It's a bypass bridge. We have oil trucks, we have garbage trucks, we have school buses. I have got to believe that Jeff has already looked into this to make sure that they're adequate to handle whatever has to cross them. But the resolution is not really descriptive on the adequacy, the strength of one of these. Do you have any? Can you fill us in?
I don't have a tonnage number, no, and that's a very good question. I'm sure that our highway manager would not dream of deploying it on a route where it wouldn't be absolutely useful. I think we have a single double. They're built in various strengths. Some are reinforced out at the side. Some are taller than others, and I am at a loss to describe this one for you. I'm sorry, Fred. Joe?
Well, they're quite strong, and I can't remember the weight limit either. I think it's 20 tons, but I'm not 100% certain. They will carry salt trucks. So a dump with salt, one of our plows, will go over it. These are designed for the military to carry tanks over water. So they're really strong. And Jeff did, in fact, look at that as a part of the review of this bridge.
Thank you.
Peter?
No, I was just going to say this is exactly the use they're being put to is exactly the use that they're built for. And we don't mention specifications generally at these committees. We're assuming that the specifications are consistent with the use.
All right. Anything else?
Well, what you all may be interested in knowing is that other counties own some of these structures. And in the past, we have borrowed from another county in an emergency situation. But our highway manager would very much like to have this in his toolbox, and we have agreed that it makes sense.
Peter?
Yeah, just one more comment. When we say temporary use, that doesn't mean that they're weak or they don't last long. It means that they're constructed in such a way that you can take them apart. easily without destroying anything. There's nothing permanent about them. They're bolted together, and bolted together steel beams are what all buildings are built out of. So I don't think there's any weakness implied by the use temporary. It's more that they can be taken apart as easily as they can be put together.
Brian?
And we probably should say, just for the knowledge of the public, yeah, we're buying it. It's not a luxury item. You do use it, and sometimes in emergency situations, that particular bridge has a sticker price of $200,000 to $250,000, and we're buying it from a neighboring county for, I believe, 50? 55.
I think that's called eBay.
So it's a good deal.
It's an eBay purchase, that's good point, Brian. Thank you. Jim, is your hand up?
One comment. Any highway department anywhere worth their blacktop knows what a Bailey Bridge is and how they operate and what good they are. Most places don't own them, and so it's a great deal if we have that ability to own that and be able to use it in various places in the county, especially given the fact that we have so many streams running through towns that run into trouble now and then, and it particularly could use this. So, good move.
Okay, ready to vote? We need a short form roll call.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. All set? Thanks very much, Julie.
Yes.
Okay. And Brian, back to Frank. Your Health and Human Services question?
Oh, yeah. Well, Frank, you were asking that you have the health director come back and basically give his segment of an after-action report as far as his involvement with EOC and so on and so forth. I think it would be better, and better for all of us, to be able to understand the inner workings of the whole EOC process if, instead of giving these reports in segments to different committees, that for those of us that are interested, that the players involved, the department heads, come together and actually walk us through one of these things and how they... the inner workings of those, and I think that it would be very interesting, for one thing, and it might alleviate questions at a later time when an event like this happens. You know, Joe reports on it. I know there is going to be an after-action report on the whole thing, and if we could have a presentation on that, You would not only be able to understand what pertains to your own committee, but everything and how everything works in conjunction with one another, if that's possible.
Perhaps we can schedule a presentation to the full legislature.
Okay.
Right. I think that's a great idea. Okay. Thanks very much. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We are the Capital Plan Review Committee. That's the title. It's a special committee. It's been now in its third year. And I'm pleased to report that at our last meeting, we completed our review of the capital plan and are passing it off to the Budget Committee to take a look at. We will be coming forth with a resolution recommending it. It is a lot of work that's been done, a lot of review, a lot of particularly administrative work through Joe's office, Kevin Sutherland, and particularly Ed Marks in the planning department, who've given us many scenarios, worked the figures, brought them back to us, and have a proposal for us to look at. So it's going to be coming to this legislature eventually, and it'll take some time to look at it, and we'll be pleased to have that task done. Doesn't mean in the future it doesn't get revised and updated, but that two-and-a-half-year task, anyway, has moved along. The other things we've been doing is keeping track of our building projects, the Human Services Annex project, and the old courthouse renovations in particular. The Human Services Annex project is moving right along on schedule. The old courthouse, we are a little bit delayed because the bids won't come back quite when we thought they would. They'll be coming back after Thanksgiving. Accordingly, we're going to not have our meeting on November 20th. We're going to try to reschedule after Thanksgiving so that we can look at those bid results that have come in, and hopefully they'll be good news. And in addition, what we're going to do at our what would be our regular meeting on the 20th at 1 o'clock is that we're going to take a tour of the construction at the Human Services Annex. We're going to ask, I think Joe, we've already asked him to arrange that with our architects and the contractors, and we'd like to invite anyone who would like to come at that time to please, I guess we'll meet right down there at the building at 1 o'clock on the 20th, and we'll go in and we'll see what's happening. I understand that there's been a lot of progress made, and we're right, as I said, right on schedule. So that's my report, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Frank, and then Dooley, is your hand up?
Mike, we have the meeting you described on the 20th at 1, followed by my calendar says we're supposed to have a regular committee meeting on the 21st, the very next day, at 3.
No, I have that deleted. I think we moved it because of Thanksgiving.
Okay. I just want to confirm that
it wouldn't have been. Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah.
That the meeting on the 21st is canceled.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have that down. Too.
Julie?
I also had that same Wednesday meeting down. You said it's been canceled, but it hasn't been rescheduled. Is that
what you haven't rescheduled the one for after Thanksgiving to review the bids yet. Okay, Kathy's going to be working on that.
And that's the meeting that would take the place of the one on the 21st?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Which actually had been moved back to the 20th.
At a different time. I had a question, actually, about the capital plan committee. The capital plan, period. How and when might that be modified? Is there a process for that in the same way there is for our budget?
Well, it'll be brought before this. The plan will be brought before this legislature, and as we debate the resolution, I assume you can make amendments to it if you're so inclined. I hope that won't happen. I hope it'll be accepted, but that's the process that I understand.
And tonight, we amended a five-year capital plan, which is the 2012-2016 one. When will we deal with the next five-year capital plan, or program, the 2013-2017 one?
Well, as I said, we're a special committee. If that committee continues, I think that's something that probably next year's rendition of that committee we'll have to talk about. I can't tell you exactly.
Okay.
All right.
I'll find out.
5 years. 5 years. Anything else for Mike? Thanks very much. So to reiterate, the November 21st meeting of the committee is canceled. Okay.
November 21st is canceled. The meeting on the 20th is now replaced with the tour.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair. Oh. I'm sorry.
We're meeting this Friday. Okay. At 9:30, and it's a fairly routine agenda. One item of interest, one resolution of interest is yet another policy, this one on compensation plans and employee salaries. So if that sounds attractive to you, please come.
And your resolution M.
Question?
Frank.
Sorry. Is that the committee that will be dealing with the special report that, remember the special committee that was going over
compensation and whatnot.
Good, Jeff.
That, yeah. Yeah.
And that's
it
the
has
meeting.
Come to committee. It has come to GO already. That report was presented to GO. I think I reported a couple of meetings ago on the outcome of that task force that said no more compensation for accrued comp time for managers after a certain period of time. So the committee reviewed that report. The committee recommended that we now begin the process of amending policy to incorporate those recommendations. That policy, once that's done, will come back to the legislature for its approval.
So, but it'll only be a recommendation coming from the GO committee. Mm-hmm. I mean, because
yes.
They don't have the authority.
That's correct.
Okay, the legislature has to vote on that. Thank
but
you.
Importantly, it's in progress, so it's okay. It's underway.
Thanks.
Michael, that was exactly my question. Joe, is there a copy of that report somewhere?
Because I think I sent it out, but if you'd like, I can do it again.
I've never seen it.
Be happy to do it.
Did everybody else see it? I'll look back and see. If I don't see it,
just
I'll
email me
it
and
out.
I'll send it out. Sure.
Okay, anything else?
So Resolution M, which is ID 3651, approving revisions to Administrative Policy 01-28, County-Owned Vehicles of the Tompkins County Government. I'll move that.
Seconded by Pat. To discussion. Do you want to intro it first?
I'm going to offer an amendment, but call on Frank.
Okay, Frank.
Yeah, there's been some I want to know how this revision will fit into something that Pat and I have been working on with regard to soil and water. It does not? The question. Let me ask the question, and then the Soil and Water District has been interested in acquiring another vehicle. There's been an offer that perhaps the van that the Board of Elections has that does not have, they don't have the use, they don't have the need for the intensity of use that they once had for this van, but they need it periodically. Will this policy permit this revision permit Soil and Water to use the van or have the van and then let the Board of Elections periodically use it? Will this policy permit that?
This policy is really not about acquisition of vehicles, which it sounds to me like you're talking about.
No, this would be about the specific use.
Okay.
Assuming that Soil and Water acquires this vehicle, will the Board of Elections be permitted under this policy to periodically use it?
That would be up to Soil and Water. This affects our departments, and the department heads make decisions about who gets to use the vehicles. If Soil and Water acquires it from Elections, then I don't think this policy would apply to a department head giving permission. We would no longer, as a county, own the vehicle. Am I missing something?
I don't think so. I think if we were to transfer title to Soil and Water and they have their own policies governing use, then their policies would apply. If we hold title so that the Board of Elections still or the county still owns the vehicle and we're just allowing them use, then we probably want to look at this policy and make sure that they are compliant with the policy. It really talks about who can drive and who can ride along. So that might be an issue that we would want to look at. Again, if the Board of Elections is still the owner, essentially, of the vehicle, and they're just loaning it or letting Soil and Water use it, we need to look, because it governs the use of that vehicle.
And if Board of Elections continued to own it, then the part that you'd be interested in is on the second page of the policy under use. And the people who can use it are county employees, and I don't know that Soil and Water people are considered county employees.
So we would need to find a carve-out, Frank. I mean, that's really the outlier, the exception. You've raised an interesting exception. So we'd have to figure out exactly what the ownership is going to be and whether we need to somehow carve this out to allow that kind of use.
Pat?
I just want to say that I consulted with the county attorney about this question, and his response was that if the county retains ownership of the vehicle, then under this
policy, either previously or as it's being amended, that Soil and Water District employees would not be able to use it, absolutely, without exception. It would be a violation of the county policy for them to use it. Now, if the Soil and Water District were to take ownership of the vehicle, this policy does not specifically speak to whether or not county employees could use a vehicle belonging to somebody else. So that question still would have to be answered. So I think what I said is correct.
Okay, well, it's a good question. Is it clear if the van's going to be bought or sold? I'm a little lost.
If it's going to be bought or sold or transferred to Soil and Water, then it would be, as Joe said, you'd have to sit down and discuss the application.
Right. Well, no, if it's sold, it's their issue. They have to figure out who
they're
can
not
drive
county
it.
Employees.
It's only if it's loaned or they're given use of it. It's still county owned at that point, so the policy would govern. And so if we're going to allow that shared use of the vehicle, we would have to figure out
a way to adapt.
Yeah.
How would that apply to public works vehicles if we are sharing equipment?
We don't need to worry about that.
We've talked about that. We have specific contractual relationships that speak to that, so we don't have to worry about that part of it.
Thank you.
So staff will work on that problem, and if this needs modification, then we'll see it again. But Adula, you had an amendment to the policy that we have in front of us, right?
Yes. On packet page 23, in the middle of the page, letter A says use. Number 3 under that says in appropriate circumstances as an alternative to using a county-owned vehicle. County department heads should consider the option of renting a car and obtaining insurance deemed appropriate by the Department of County Administration. This little sentence raised lots of interesting discussion. The amendment I wish to offer is really trivial compared to some of the things that were considered. The department heads should consider the option of, one, renting a car, as it says, or, two, having an employee use his or her own car and request mileage reimbursement. The idea being, if you're not going to use a county car for whatever reason, then you have the option of renting a car or using your own car and getting reimbursed for it. So that's the simple amendment I wish to make. Other people may wish to amend it further.
Is there a second to that amendment?
I'll second it so we could talk about it.
Okay. Discussion?
What?
Frank?
Dooley, what precipitates? Don't employees now have the option of using their own vehicle and then getting reimbursed if they're on county business?
Yes, but as long as there's a section of this particular policy that mentions an alternative to using a county vehicle.
It's renting one.
It's renting or using the employee's own, and that got left out.
Oh, it's just a case of omission, and this is just clarifying it?
That's how I view it.
So what precipitated the discussion at your committee?
There's a question of whether the word should is the right word or whether it should be could.
Oh.
There's also a question of whether this belongs in here at all, since this policy is just about use of vehicles. It's not about alternatives to use of vehicles. So that was... It was a more complicated discussion.
I've got Pat, Peter and then Pat.
I'm opposed to this.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Didn't you call on me?
Yes.
I misunderstood. My fault.
Okay. I'm opposed to this amendment. I think that what it's doing, it's a question of who has the liability. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be sued? Is it going to be the county that's going to be sued, or is it going to be the employee that's going to be sued if there's an accident? Whose insurance is it that's going to cover this? And I think that that the county recommending to a a county recommending to an employee that they use their own insurance to hold the county harmless is not the right way to treat your employees. You might say, well, you know, who cares what the insurance company pays? But if your own insurance company pays a claim, you personally have to repay that because your rates go way up after that. And I think it's not correct to urge that urge in any way that employees hold the county harmless in this situation.
Pat?
Thank you, Peter. Peter pretty much said what I was going to say. There was considerable discussion about this at the committee, and as I recall, there was not, I think it was pretty much opposed by everybody else on the committee when it was suggested for exactly the reasons that Peter had mentioned, that by even putting that kind of language in here, it implies that the county would feel that the option of having an employee use their own vehicle was equally as acceptable, okay, or whatever, as renting a vehicle, and yet we would be asking that employee if they chose to do that, and they might not think of that. They might just say, oh, yeah, I'd rather drive my own vehicle. I'm familiar with it. Sure, I'll drive my own vehicle. But that puts the responsibility for anything that happens on the employee as opposed to the county. And the committee was not in favor of this.
All right, before I go to Dooley and then Frank, it seems to me changing the word should to could changes the meaning of that quite a bit and would, in a sense, allow, for whatever the circumstances are, allow those two options to be considered. So, Dooley, your comment?
What Peter and Pat said I agree with as far as it went, but it's my understanding that in New York State, if you have a license and you drive a car, you need insurance. You're required to have insurance. And in New York State, if you go to rent a car and you have a New York State license, you will be asked if you want to buy insurance. And the chances are you'll say no because it's covered in my existing insurance policy. So even the rental, in my view, puts the employee at risk of paying for this trip. The whole reason for having these alternatives to use of county cars seems to me to be to transfer the risk from the county's self-insurance pool to the employee. So it's not that I disagree with what Pat and Peter said. I just think there's more to the story.
Frank and then Pat, if I can just say, but when I said could might be exchanged in there, in a sense, leaving the word should says that that's the preference, is that the first choice is to encourage the county employee to rent a car or to use their own, which I think is inappropriate, personally.
Well, if I may, it says should have the option, so option still makes it a choice.
Should have the option. Okay. Frank and then Pat.
Yeah, I'm sorry to belabor this, but If I, as a county employee, decide to rent a vehicle, but I decide not to take the rental company's offer for the insurance, but apply my own insurance, doesn't that automatically make the county liable? If I'm doing it if I'm going to be on county business, if I opt, there's a further complication, I think. I might have high limits on my personal insurance, but not everybody carries $1 million liability policy. They may, or whatever the limits happen to be, they may carry the minimal on their personal liability. And I would turn to Steve and ask him, what do you suggest here? That if we can't use a county-owned vehicle, don't go on the trip?
No, I think that...
Use your mic, please.
Oh, sorry.
I think that the idea behind this is in many ways to shift the burden of insurance away from the insurance pool by having the person renting another car obtain, as it's written here, obtain insurance that's deemed appropriate by the county administration. So you have to go out and obtain it. Now, if you go out and you have a driver's license, presumably you have your own insurance. I don't know. It's been a while since I rented a car, and I think I opted for my own insurance.
Right.
Whether or not you as a county employee doing an employee's job could, doing the work of the county when you rent a car, would still acquire additional insurance. If you do that, which is, seems to be what this is calling for, then you are effectively shifting the burden away from the county self-insurance policy, and you are purchasing with, you're going to be reimbursed by the county, so it's by the county, insurance from the car rental insurance company.
Steve, what would that, but wouldn't that carry with it a set of guidelines from county administration that if you're going to rent a car and either use your own insurance or take the insurance that the company is offering, you have to do it knowing that these are the minimal insurance values because you're shifting the burden then to the county. I mean, wouldn't the county want to step in and say we want to be adequately covered in the event that, heaven forbid, there's an accident?
Well, if you're doing county work and you're on your own insurance, my guess is that the insurance companies are going to fight it out. For example, if I'm driving to Albany for a court appearance and I get injured, it's still workers' compensation that's covered because, you know, it's going to cover me. It's still, and if it's my insurance policy that's going to kick in, that insurance policy or an insurance company is probably going to seek reimbursement from the county. Because I'm doing county, as a county employee, yeah, doing point. County work.
I'm going to go to Pat and then Peter.
I'm not sure if my question got addressed with some of these, or my comment got addressed with some of these comments that were just made. But could I just hold and perhaps come back to me?
Sure.
Thank you.
Peter?
Well, I think this is a technical issue to think that an employee has to understand exactly how liabilities are shared around is not appropriate. The reason I feel sort of strongly about this is having nothing to do with the county, I got trapped into a situation where I could not use the liability insurance that was on my own car, on a rental car that I did personally, having nothing to do with the county, because I didn't understand that it was going to cause my own insurance rates to raise. So I just think that urging employees to have to make some kind of a decision like this is just inappropriate, that's all.
Mike and then Brian.
I just want to say I agree with Pat and Peter on this, and I don't think we should add this amendment.
Brian?
Well, I tend to agree with that myself, but in absence of that, is it possible until we can get some of these questions answered that we hold off on this and be able to pass it at a later time or send it back to committee? It seems like an important enough issue that maybe we shouldn't be deciding on that until we have some of those answers.
Peter, then Dooley?
I'd like to call the question.
All right. The question is whether to accept this amendment. Is there a second to that? Mike seconds that. Not debatable. All in favor of ending discussion by calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. 9-4. So the question is called. The motion, Dooley, would you read the language again, please?
Insert number 1 before renting a car, etc., and add, or number 2, having an employee use his or her own car and request mileage reimbursement.
I'm really sorry. Could you just read the whole clause as you intended to read?
Number three, in appropriate circumstances, as an alternative to using a county-owned vehicle, county department heads should consider the option of, one, renting a car and obtaining insurance deemed appropriate by the Department of County Administration, or, two, having an employee use his or her own car and requesting mileage reimbursement.
Okay. Ready to vote. We need to vote now. All in favor of...
the question was called.
The question was called.
On the amendment.
That's right.
So now, now we're back to the amendment.
We haven't voted on the amendment.
I asked her to read it so we knew what we were voting on. We haven't voted yet.
I'm sorry.
All in favor of amending the policy to include that language, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 4 to 9, that fails. Any other amendments, suggestions? Will.
So I agreed with Brian's suggestion that we perhaps would send this back to the committee because I think there were some technical issues that we did not adequately understand.
So is that a motion to refer it to committee?
That is a motion to refer it back to committee.
Is there a second to that? Second by Dave. It doesn't mean the committee has to be happy about it. Peter, then Pat?
Well, I can't. The committee did, in fact, discuss all of these. This whole discussion went on in the committee, and the committee voted to reject this. So I'm not quite sure why we should send it back. I haven't heard anything new that I didn't hear before when we were talking about it within the committee.
Pat?
I would totally agree with what Peter said. I don't see any point of sending something back to the committee that we discussed thoroughly. We felt comfortable, whichever point of view we supported in the committee. I don't see any sense that, you know.
Maybe we could send it back to a committee you're on.
No.
It's been thoroughly vetted, and we were
okay.
Not in sport.
In that case, I will withdraw my motion.
Okay. Mike?
I just want to say thank you to Will for withdrawing that motion.
All right. If I may speak, I am uncomfortable with the word should there, and perhaps I need to step down and have Nathan come up so that I might make that motion as an amendment. I think I will do that.
What wording would you prefer?
Could.
I'll move that we substitute the word could for should.
Is there a second to that? Duly seconds that. Discussion. In other words, that allows this as an option, but it doesn't recommend. Should says first choice is you should rent a car and buy insurance. This is allows it as an option. Mike?
The reason I don't think we should change it is because of the opening clause that says inappropriate circumstances.
Which is undefined.
What, Dooley?
It's undefined. I don't know what that means.
I don't think it hurts anything to say could instead of should. Any other discussion? All right, then ready to vote on...
So what are we voting on? The amendment's been defeated.
No, we're voting on could.
It's a new one.
This is a new amendment.
It's a new amendment. All right, why don't you read the new amendment then?
In appropriate circumstances, as an alternative to using a county-owned vehicle, county department heads could, now, instead of should... could consider the option of renting a car and obtaining insurance deemed appropriate by the Department of County Administration. Okay? All in favor of that amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. 3. 10 to 3, that passes. Okay. So then, is there any other discussion on the policy itself? Ready to vote on the policy with that amendment. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 2. That passes 11-2. Okay. Fair amount of discussion. Anything else from GEO, Billy?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. Can I get a motion on the minutes of October 16th and perhaps October 30th as well? Both, Jim?
No.
Second?
Absolutely.
Would you separate them? I'd like to vote for one of them.
All right. Well, let's do Jim, say October 16th. Second by Pat. Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand.
That's not the one, huh, Julie?
That's okay. Opposed. That passes 12 to 1. Motion on October 30th minutes. Somebody, Brian moves it. Pat seconds. Discussion? Julie? Is there any discussion? Okay. All in favor of October 30th minutes?
Yeah.
Opposed. That one's unanimous. Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn? That would be Frank, second by Peter, all in favor. We are adjourned. Thank you all.